Let's bow our heads for a moment and let's just pause and pray to our Father before we turn and consider his word a little bit more fully together. Let's pray. Father God, in all of our joy and all of our excitement this morning of being able to celebrate that Christ has risen, would you allow us just to pause our hearts and our minds for a moment? Would you allow us to be silent before you? And we pray that in our silence and our thoughts, that you would come and that you would speak to us this morning. Speak to us clearly through your word. Encourage us, challenge us, and change us this morning for all of eternity. Father God, we pray that we might not hear the stammering, stuttering words of your servant, but Father God, that we might hear you and you alone speaking to each one of us, to speaker and to listener alike. Come speak to your children this morning, we pray, for we ask it in our Saviour's name. Amen. Nikolai Bukharin was a Soviet politician and a communist theoretician. That's a big word for me on a Sunday morning, isn't it? Theorist. We'll call him a theorist. A communist theorist. For a time, he was also editor of a newspaper called Pravda. In the early 1920s, Bukharin was sent from Moscow to Kiev to address a vast anti-God rally. For 1 hour, he brought to bear all the artillery of his argument, abuse and ridicule upon the Christian faith, till in the end it all seemed that the whole ancient structure of our belief was in ruins. At the end of his talk there was silence. Questions were invited. Eventually a man rose and asked leave to speak. He was a priest of the Orthodox Church. He stood up beside Bukharin, this great atheist and communist. And he stood and he gave this ancient liturgical Easter greeting. Christ is risen. And instantly the whole vast crowd who had sat in silence rose to their feet, and the reply came thundering back like a crash of breakers against the cliff. He is risen indeed. There was no reply. There could not be. When all the argument is said and done and ended, there remains a fact. The total fact of Jesus Christ. Everything looked in ruins. Despair was all around. And yet there was hope in that Easter greeting. Christ is risen. On Friday, we thought of a Saviour condemned in here and in places up and down the length and breadth of this country. We thought of a Saviour crucified on the cross of Calvary and then laid in a tomb once he was dead. A large stone placed across the entrance to that tomb. Jesus was dead. It was final. It is into that context, though, into that context that we are introduced to three women in our text this morning, and we'll go on to see this morning resurrection hope from angelic announcement. On the third day after Jesus had been buried, on the first day of the week, these three women went up to the tomb. They're recorded for us in Mark's Gospel as being Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome. I had to think what was going on in their minds since Friday. Friday had been a dark day for them. Jesus was a friend. More than that, they had come to recognize him as their Messiah. He was God's own Son come to earth. They had left everything they knew, everything behind them, to follow him. And they believed so much in him. They knew his mission and his goal. Well, at least partly. I don't think they thought it would all end upon death on a cross. Yet Jesus knew what lay in front of him. These women had heard Jesus say that all who come to him would have life and life in all of its fullness. And yet now he was dead. How could he offer life to anyone now? These ladies were upset. They were confused. They were scared. They were frightened. They couldn't understand how the promised Messiah could die. They had not worked it all out. We're fortunate that we have the benefit of 2,000 years of history. We have the words recorded for us in all of Scripture that tell us about the great and the glorious plans of God. These women had heard Jesus speak. but had not realized the significance of him having to die upon a cross to save us on this first day of the week. Confused and scared, early in the morning, they walked up to the tomb. They came to carry out the task they had set themselves. They had bought spices. They wanted to come and prepare Jesus' body for burial proper. Imagine the surprise then upon their faces when they came within sight of that tomb. They were lost in darkness and pain. They were even wondering how on earth they were going to move that large stone away from the entrance. And yet when they looked up, they saw that the stone had already been rolled to the side. They hurried even closer now, scared and frightened as to what had happened, wondering what on earth was going on now. Who removed the stone? Who could have done this? Where was Jesus' body? Was it still inside? What was going on? Could things get any worse for them? And as they reached the tomb, they looked inside, and they saw a young man dressed in white robes sitting there. And we read that they were alarmed. The King James tells us they were affrighted. The American Standard says they were amazed. The New Living says they were shocked. The word in Greek is ezithambethesan, which simply translated, that's an awful word to try and pronounce on a Sunday morning, I have to tell you. That word translated means greatly astonished. So it gathers all of that, all these thoughts together from the different versions. The women were taken aback. They were shocked. They were astonished. They were alarmed at what they saw. Jesus, who had been crucified and who was dead, was not there. And some young fella in white robes was standing there instead. This young man was an angel. And he had come to bring some resurrection hope to the woman and all the followers of Jesus that day. This message he brought is a message of hope that can still change lives today. In 1920, Russia, people's lives were changed by that Easter greeting of great joy and resurrection hope. Angels have brought messages to God's people before. We read about them all at Christmas time, as the angel came to Zechariah and then to Mary and to Joseph, as the angels gathered around those shepherds on the hillside and proclaimed the great news to them. Years before that, angels had been at work bringing God's word to people as well. To Lot, they came and told him about the impending destruction of Sodom. After that, an angel appeared to announce the forthcoming birth of Samson. You can go back and you can check all of these in your Bibles later on. Angels have been used to bring announcements before to God's people. And so this morning, let us see together resurrection hope from angelic announcement here in Mark 16. The announcement is at first a word of peace. The women are rightly scared and alarmed. The stone to the tomb has been rolled away. The body of their Saviour is gone, and some young guy in white is sitting there pretending all is well. All is far from well in the minds of the women. The women don't know what the religious leaders have done with the body or what trouble they now want to start. They were totally unsure as to what had happened anyway and how the Saviour of the world had actually died. But now his body was gone. They're alarmed and they are frightened. The angel recognises this though. And so his first words are words of peace. Don't be alarmed, he says in verse 6. Don't fear. Don't worry. Don't be frightened. Relax. Take a few deep breaths. In. Out. In. Out. Now that you're relaxed and calm, I can explain a few things to you, said the angel. The first thing the angel attempts to do is to calm the woman down and to bring them that message of peace. In our troubled world, we want peace as well. We get worked up by things that happen in our lives and we cannot handle them. We struggle to cope. We get stressed out. We get alarmed and frightened. The first words of the angel to us would be words of peace as well. Jesus often brought words of peace to bear in situations, didn't he? As we've been thinking about in the mornings here in Cornton recently in John's Gospel, we thought of Jesus coming to Martha after Lazarus had died, and he tried to calm things down. He brought a message of peace, but a message of peace that was tinged with hope. John 11:25, he said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die." And then later in verse 40 of that same chapter, he said, "Did I not tell you, Martha? Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" Be at peace. Chill out. Relax. And later in John 14, after Jesus has spent time with his disciples in the upper room, explaining to them what is about to happen in the coming days, he senses the panic in his disciples. And so he utters those great words to them from John 14. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me." Take it easy. Don't be upset. Don't be alarmed. All will be well. Just trust. Easy to say that when you know what's going to happen. Harder to understand when you're in the midst of that difficult and trying situation and all you want to do is panic. The angel comes to calm the woman and to bring peace to them. The first words are words of grace and peace. And still the words of peace come and bring us resurrection hope 2,000 years on from that first Easter. Jesus' resurrection from the dead is still bringing a message of peace to believers' hearts. Not only did the angelic announcement bring peace, but there was also a message of power contained within those words. The angel said in verse 6, "Don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen." The Orthodox priest in the 1920s was able to declare with power those words, and everyone responded with that same response we used earlier on this morning that maybe needed a little warm-up for you to use. But Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. He has risen. Words of power. There have been resurrections before. Maybe we want to call them resuscitations. Maybe that better describes them. Why do I say that? Well, all three of the other cases where we've seen Jesus bring people back to life, unfortunately the people at some stage were going to die again. In Jesus' own case though, he was raised from the dead, never to die again. He conquered death, he conquered hell, he conquered evil. The devil was defeated. Death had no hold on Jesus. "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?" said Paul in 1 Corinthians 15. The three other accounts of people being raised back from the dead recorded for us are the widow of Nain's son in Luke 7, where Jesus uses that Greek phrase, "Egeri, rise up." And that phrase is repeated in Luke 8:54, when Jesus commands Jairus' daughter to rise up from her sleep. And of course the third act is that one that we here in Cornton have been thinking about in recent weeks, as Lazarus is lying there and Jesus told them to come out, to come forth from the tomb. Each time Jesus spoke with great power and a miracle occurred. And here we see the great resurrection. Here we see the message of power to the women and Jesus' followers that day. He has risen. There is resurrection hope now, for Jesus, whom they thought was dead and buried, has been raised from the dead. He has arisen and is alive forevermore. And the message of resurrection hope is for you and for me this morning as well. Since Jesus conquered death, since Jesus has been raised back to life again, we can rest assured that we can have life, and life in all of its fullness as well. That's what Jesus promised his followers, and this resurrected life is what he spoke of. He spoke of life eternal. Jesus had died on the cross of Calvary, bearing the punishment for your sins and mine. His blood was shed that we might be cleansed and forgiven forever. Jesus made the perfect atonement for each of us to offer us salvation. Salvation that is full and free. At the very moment of salvation, Jesus' resurrection is imputed to us. That means that resurrection was attributed to each one of us. Jesus suffered and died, and because he did, we too can enjoy the benefits. Romans 6 and 8 tells us, "Now if we died with Christ, we believe we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. Jesus cannot die again. And so he died on our behalf, taking my sins and your sins on his back in the process. And since he did that, we too, if we put our trust and our faith in him, can have that same resurrection and so that same eternal life. And that resurrection power will come into its own when Jesus returns in glory. And we read that the dead in Christ will rise first. Every believer or saint who has died and been buried will rise first on the day Jesus returns. They will be caught up with him in the air. What power, what resurrection hope. We live with resurrection hope now though as well. For as redeemed sinners we live for Christ. And we couldn't do that if we didn't have the power of resurrection hope. Jesus, only Jesus can breathe new life into the dead bones of sinful humans. We cannot do anything on our own. And so it was with our sin in the first place. We were so far from God that we could do nothing about it. Only Jesus could unlock the gates of heaven and let us in. God sent his own Son into the world with great power and authority in order to save us. Jesus died and did what God had planned in order to save us. Only through the shedding of his blood can we be set free. Only through his death on the cross can we be forgiven and enter back into a relationship with God. There was great power at work on the cross of Calvary. Jesus died that we might live. Jesus died that we might be forgiven. And then Jesus was raised from the dead in order that we who put our trust and our faith in him might too live forever. A message of peace, a message of power. But that angelic announcement was also a message of potential. He has risen, it says in Mark's gospel. He has risen. He is not here. Jesus isn't in the tomb. Jesus has risen from the dead, and he is not there with them. Where is he gone? What is he doing? Hebrews 9, 6 and following, I think, gives us the answer, and you can look at that and read it later on. In the days of the Old Testament, the priest would enter the most holy place to lay blood on the altar for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus was bringing that act to an end, though. His death was once and for all. Hebrews tells us that Jesus didn't simply go into the tabernacle here on earth, but he went straight to the mercy seat of God in heaven. He went to that tabernacle which was not man-made. He entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. Jesus was a great high priest, and he, and he alone, had to go one time only to lay the sacrifice on the altar. His shed blood. That's why Jesus was not here. That's why the women were told he would later come to them. And check the potential that comes from this message. Jesus was once and for all making sacrifice for our sin. No longer would we need to annually or regularly lay blood from sacrifices on the altar. No longer would the priest have to go through long and elaborate rituals before entering the most holy place. Jesus had paid the price forever. Potentially now every person on earth could be saved, and saved forever and ever and ever. Potentially every person could have that life, and that life in all its fullness. The potential was there for people to come and to put their trust and their faith in Jesus Christ. A message of peace, a message of power, a message of potential, and of course, finally, a message of promise. The angelic announcement was, don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where he was, where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. There you will see him. What a word of promise to these ladies and to the disciples as they went and shared it with them. These women had thought they had lost Jesus forever. They thought they had lost everything that they had left behind to follow Jesus. They knew he was the Messiah who had come to save them, but they thought it had all gone pear-shaped. God's plan for salvation, they thought, couldn't be worked out. They were going to that tomb that morning, downcast and dispirited, for their Saviour had died. They thought they would never see him again. The angel came and reminded them, though, of Jesus' promise. They were able to leave that tomb that Easter Sunday morning with the promise that they would see him clearly face to face once more. Can you imagine their excitement now? And yet that excitement was tinged with trembling and bewilderment. We read in verse 8 there. I'm not sure they fully understood yet what was going on. They later would, though, when Jesus appeared to them. That promise gives us resurrection hope as well this morning. Jesus did die that our sins could be forgiven, but then he was raised from the dead that we might spend eternity with him and never die. Jesus went to prepare a place for us in heaven. That's what he told his disciples in John 14. In my Father's house are many rooms, or many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. Jesus' promise then was he would come back to take us to be with him forever. Resurrection hope means Jesus is alive forevermore, and he's preparing a place for you and for me in eternity with him. That is the promise of the angel. That is the promise of our Lord. Revelation 22 and 4 says that we will see his face in glory. We're not heading to Galilee like the disciples to see Jesus. We are heading towards glory to see him and to be with him forever. And that promise is given even more understanding in 1 Thessalonians 4, where we read, "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever." Friends, God always keeps his promises. Jesus was going to see those disciples in Galilee later that day. Jesus, my friends, is coming back one day that we might see him face to face forever as well. This morning, we have resurrection hope from angelic announcement. The angel came to the woman in their hour of need and calmed their fears. He brought a message of peace to them. That message was also a message of power. He has risen. Jesus not only died as we thought on Good Friday, but he rose from the dead on Easter Sunday. Friday was a dark day, but Sunday was a gloriously bright day. Jesus triumphed over death and hell and evil and the devil with great power. The angelic message was also a message of potential as we consider spending eternity with Christ, and it's a message of promise. Jesus has conquered death and hell. He has paid the price for our sin once and for all. He has risen from the dead, showing us his victory. He is preparing a place for us in heaven that one day he's going to come back in the clouds to take us to be with him. We have resurrection hope from angelic announcement. The message of peace, power, potential and promise is ours as well. It's ours to take out of this building this morning to the homes around this church here. It's that message of peace, of power, of potential and promise to take to those in the city of Stirling and beyond into the rest of this world, that Jesus is alive forevermore. He has risen. He died that our sins could be forgiven. He rose from the dead that we might go and be with him forevermore. Take heart this Easter, friends, for Jesus is risen, and he is very much alive in us, through us, and around us. Let's go from this place with great joy and with that resurrection hope in our hearts, for Christ has risen. Let's pray together. Father God, we want to thank you for the joy of Easter. We admit at times, Father God, we get downcast in our own life here on earth. We are sometimes like those women, bewildered and astonished, alarmed, shocked at what goes on. But Father God, we thank you for that message, that first Easter from the angel, that message of peace. And that message of peace is for us in our world today as well, for Christ is risen, and one day Christ will come back to rule the heavens and the earth forever and forever. Father God, we rejoice in that. We thank you for that message of power. that indeed Christ is risen from the dead. Death could not hold him. That tomb could not keep him. Jesus is alive forevermore. We thank you for that potential. That potential that our sins are forgiven forever and that we can be with you forever in heaven. And Father God, we thank you for the promise. The promise that we will indeed see Jesus one day face to face, when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord, help us to go from this place into this dark world of ours, rejoicing with that resurrection hope within our hearts. Help us to go and to share with others the great news that Jesus is alive. Hear our prayers. Help us to mill that word over in our hearts during the rest of this day as well, that we might hear again your message to us, that we might understand it for ourselves. For we pray now in Jesus' name. Amen.